I'm not really good at what I call an introduction to a sermon. I've heard amazing introductions with long, long stories, and with everything, and I don't do that. I just jump in. My grandfather told me a long time ago, the only way to get into a pool is jump in. So we're going to jump in. We're going to talk about the voice of God and listening to the voice of God. And in listening, receive what that voice wants us to know. And in knowing it, having peace, forever peace. We're going to use a psalm, which we're going to say in just a few moments with each other after the sermon. We're going to use this psalm to get into the subject, but not necessarily to cover the whole subject. Psalm 29. It starts out where it wants, it's basically telling us where we need to start if we're going to have any hope of hearing the voice of the Lord. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. In other words, what it's saying there, in saying ascribe, that's saying give to God what is God's. And if you can give to God what is God's, that is his glory, acknowledging him to be the glorious one, the all-strength one, and the one who has the splendor of his holiness, and only he has that. If we can start there, we will hear his voice. The next thing that the psalm does is it gives us characteristics of his voice. And the interesting thing is this term, the voice of the Lord, occurs throughout the Old Testament. You'll find it over and over and over again. And in this psalm, it happens 7 times in a short few verses. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. It thunders. The glory of the God of glory thunders. The Lord over many waters. So it's a thundering voice. The voice of the Lord is powerful. It can do what it says it will do. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. We hear of the amazing things, of God and how he holds things together, the majesty of God, his grace, his mercy. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars, or splinters would even be a better translation, the cedars of Lebanon. In other words, the Lord can break things apart, can judge, can destroy. He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf, and Syrian, which is really Mount Hermon, like a wild young ox. The same voice that can punish and break apart and judge is one who also gives life and joy and peace. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. Flames of fire are really a really beautiful poetic way, I think, of saying lightning. And remember Mount Sinai? And the Israelites gathered at the bottom of that mountain, and the Lord descended on the mountain, and what was happening? Thunder and lightning as the Lord spoke. And the interesting thing is in that lightning, and he spoke, he gave his covenant to his people. A covenant that said, though you do not deserve me, I have chosen you to be my people, and I will be with you. It's a voice that flashes lightning, but instead of scaring us away, is meant to bring us even closer to him. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness, shakes those places that are dead and isolated. And if you want to get metaphorical on that, shakes those places in our lives that we're alone and out in the wilderness someplace. He will shake us up there, This is not a good place for us to be. The voice of the Lord makes deer give birth and strips the forest bare. Grace and judgment. New life and death from the voice of the Lord. And at the end of this, what the Psalms tells us, if we start where we need to, ascribing that glory and the majesty and the power to God, and then hear his voice doing all these great things in our lives, well, then the result is these last verses in his temple, where he is, all cry glory. I really should have said that as loud as I possibly could, but I didn't want to break your eardrums. You know, the idea is we're so overwhelmed by what the voice of the Lord does, we fall before him and can only say to him, well, a different word, but I think a good one, wow. Wow. And the Lord sits enthroned above the flood in the heavens, enthroned as king forever. And as king, look what he does. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. This is the effect he wants for each and every one of us when we hear the voice of the Lord. So what I want to do now is just take a few moments to think about the voice of the Lord in the Old Testament, how it shows up so many different times and what it does each time. Basically the same thing. And then we're going to talk about the voice of the Lord in the very personal way it has invaded your life. First, in the Old Testament, we start with the very beginning. In the beginning, God, what did he do? He made the heavens and the earth. And how did he do it? He said, see, that's the voice of the Lord. He said, let there be light, and there was light, right? And then he said one thing after another, and he even used his voice, if you will, when he came to Adam and Eve and he formed them with his own hands. We could talk about that. That's a fun thing to talk about someday, but we won't now. And then breathed into them. That's kind of like a silent voice. The air passages, filling them with life. And then Adam and Eve sinned. And the very first time we hear the phrase, the voice of the Lord, in the Garden of Eden. And it says that Adam and Eve, as they were running away from God and trying to hide from him, heard the voice of the Lord as what was God doing? Sitting up there in heaven saying, well, that's it, I've done with them, with my voice I'll destroy them. No, he's in the garden, and what they hear, where are you? Now, God knew where they were, but did they? And with that question, that voice, that penetrated right into their souls, they began to understand what sin had done to them, taking them out to the wilderness where his voice shatters, and they were shattered. And God said, with his voice, basically, fear not. Yes, you're going to now have trials and tribulations. He explained what they would be, but I will give you a son through this woman, and he will crush the one who has led you into this. It's a voice of mercy and compassion and hope and peace. It's the first voice they hear from God after they've sinned. That's the kind of God he is. And then you have the people standing on the later on their way to the promised land, escaping from Egypt, and once again they hear the voice of the Lord, and this time it has the sound of a whirlwind. They're standing on the sea, and as they hear this voice of God, they see the waters part, and the voice is so loud. Anyone here ever been to Niagara Falls? Stood right next to it? Don't try to have a conversation next to Niagara Falls. It's impossible. So loud is it. And his voice is compared to that of the rushing waters, the whirlwind, as the waters part. And there you see God doing what he said he would do in the psalm, that he does in the psalm. He's dividing things out. There's those who will receive the grace, and there will be those who receive the judgment. Those who receive judgment because they reject him, and those who receive grace because, however imperfectly, they're with him. So they cross over. Now they find themselves at the foot of Mount Sinai. And once again we hear the voice. And this time in thunder and lightning. And they're told not to go near the mountain, but they hear the voice. It terrifies them. And then Moses, describing what happened to them years later, says, "That voice that you were so scared of, that voice gave us the Ten Commandments. And everything that comes with those Ten Commandments, the entire covenant of God. And yes, it was fierce and it was mighty and it was powerful. And that's because when he was saying those words, and that's, by the way, what the Ten Commandments really are called in the Bible, not the Ten Commandments, but the words of God, the Ten Words of God. And when you heard those words, what you heard, Moses said, was the God who says, I'm on your side. I'm with you. We are in this together. You will be my people. And that's what you'll look like. And I will be your God. And he does it with power and authority and strength and awesomeness, because what he says stands. And he wants to know, he wants us to know that he has everything that is needed for him to make sure that what he says happens, and that we don't rely on ourselves, but we rely on him. And so Moses said, as he was describing this to his vast group of Israelites, he said to them, so don't be afraid. You've got the Lord. And then you have the voice of Elijah, or the voice of God to Elijah. That's one of my favorite stories. You know about Elijah, you know, he did some great things for God, and so great that he made enemies of the king and queen underneath his, or where he was living, and the queen decided to have him killed, and so he runs away, and he goes to a cave. And God lets him know, I'm going to come to you. And then he goes out and he says, come to the entrance of the cave and I'll be there for you. And so there's lightning, thunder, and all this kind of stuff goes on. And each time the voice of the Lord isn't heard in that. And then a whisper, hardly heard. And that whisper has more authority and more strength and more majesty and more glory than anything Elijah has ever heard in his life. And he falls on the ground. That's the voice of God. It's a voice he wants us to hear. In our reading today, that voice came from heaven as his son Jesus was baptized. At the very, very beginning of his ministry. And God, with his voice, wants us to hear. This isn't any plain old baptism taking place. And this isn't any plain old man standing in that water. This is my son. and I am well pleased with him. He is everything that he needs to be for me as your God and for you as my people. In another place where he says almost the same thing, he adds these words, listen to him. What he's saying is, his voice is my voice. What he has to say is what I have to say. Listen to him. Because in the waters of baptism, I baptized him into you. I baptized him into everything that you are. I baptized him into everything that's wrong with you, so that you could receive from him everything that is right. Listen to him and hear his voice, because his voice is my voice. And when does he most profoundly and most intimately give you his voice? It can only be when he decides to live inside you. When he sends his Holy Spirit to make residence in you. And as the scriptures tell us over and over again, at that moment, you become his sanctuary. You become his temple. You become the place where he resides, so that when he speaks to you, you can hear his voice and believe and rejoice and have peace. And so Paul goes so far as to say, don't you know that all of us who've been baptized were baptized into the death of Jesus? We were crucified with Jesus. We died with Jesus. We were buried with Jesus. Don't you know that? So that as he came to life, you also can come to life and rise up and be a new person. A person who now walks with God because God has made you his temple. And a person who therefore is truly alive in the way you were always meant to be alive, so you will never die. The worst that can happen to you is what we all want to happen to us after you're baptized, is you lose your flesh. I'm 68 years old, and my body's just not as good to me as it used to be. And I have to say, you're going to notice this in a few weeks, my hands are going to be bright red, because I'm putting this cream on me now that's supposed to get rid of all this cancerous growth. Gonna look awful. I'm just glad it's not gonna be on my face. It's just on my arms. But that's because my body's just, it's becoming not so great an ally, you know? So what does God do? He makes us alive in Jesus Christ, gives us an eternal life that cannot be taken away from us. Only we can throw it away. And then lets us lose our flesh in death to be reclothed in what he calls a glorious body like his own, a heavenly body, to live as we've always wanted to. See, that's what the voice of God is all about. And this always happens. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. When we hear the voice, receive the voice, celebrate the voice, and live by the voice. May that be what happens to you all through this year, so that when this year is over, you can say to yourself, I started
This way, which was good, right, salutary, and wonderful because it started with the Lord. But as I've been listening to the voice of God through his scriptures, I'm in an even better place. And so have a happy new year. In Jesus' name.